Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're listening to UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Pastor Rod Harrison on the line with me. He has a book called Cover Him, but he didn't forget the ladies. He has a book prior to that called Cover Her. So I'm going to let him explain both books. Let's figure out what's going on. So, Pastor Harrison, let us know what's going on.
So much going on. Thank you, first of all, for having me on. My first book was Cover Her, but the book current is Cover Him.
Right.
I wrote Cover Him because after Cover Her came out, many wives and girlfriends and moms were saying, well, what do we need to do to cover our men,
right?
Our sons, our husbands. And they wanted to know, like, because men don't talk a lot about our feelings, right? They don't know what we're thinking oftentimes. They said, we don't know how to get to what's really going on.
Right.
And they said, well, please write something. And so it took me a while, but that's what Cover Him is all about, how to care for the hidden needs, thoughts, and feelings of the man that you love. Because oftentimes those needs, thoughts, and feelings are an absolute mystery.
So how much of the book is connected to you as opposed to research?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of the book is connected to me, but it's also connected to research I've done with men.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've been involved in ministry to men most of my adult life. I started out doing campus ministry really with athletes when I was a student at Virginia Tech. That carried over to my days at Howard University. Then my wife and I, Sherry, we've been married for 29 years. We went to UCLA to do a ministry with athletes. And then I spent 14 years as the chaplain and life coach of the Baltimore Ravens. So it's a lot of note-taking over years.
Right.
And then conversations as I was preparing to write the book with men in my church, asking them, tell me, what do you need
right.
from the ladies in your life? And that became much of the material for the book.
I read the book. I actually enjoyed it. I feel like some men might be like, Pastor, really? You just gonna go on and share that kind of information? Really, bruh? So I thought it was very interesting. And you hit on a lot of key points. Men being physically abusive, verbally abusive. Elaborate on that, because I know I can't, I'm not going to give y'all got to go read the book. But elaborate on just them being vulnerable enough to share that with you.
Yeah, so what I've learned, in the chapter, I talk about how ladies have to draw the boundaries. They have to show and tell a man what they will stand for, what they will not. Because the truth is that many men have, you know, we've messed up. We've dropped the ball, right?
Right.
Sometimes in anger, out of insecurity, having put their hands on women, having been unfaithful to women, the whole gamut,
right?
Having been abusive. Those things cannot be tolerated. And I tell a woman, you can never offer a man your best when you lower that bar.
Right.
And you tolerate those things. So you really have to draw the boundaries. But what I've, in my discussions with men, one thing that I've learned is most times that a man is either unfaithful or abusive is because he has something in his story, in his background, that helped to nurture that. That does not excuse it, but it helps to explain oftentimes what's going on in his inner world, the turmoil inside that we have to help men wrestle with and understand and get healthy from. And oftentimes that getting healthy means calling them to account, you see. So it's helpful for a woman to understand that this stuff is coming from somewhere. It doesn't mean she needs to tolerate it. It doesn't mean that she's responsible in any way for his decisions. So she has to draw those boundaries, but it does offer some insight into what perhaps could be going on. And I recommend counseling. That's my background. My graduate work is in counseling. And I'm a big fan. I go to counseling. I tell all the dudes in my church, like, hey, you got to get to counseling.
Right. I agree. And you speak about your grandfather and his influence. So if you can just elaborate on the importance of having that male figure in a male's life, the necessity and importance, that would be great. And a little advice for those men whose father is not around or they don't have a male figure.
I'm telling you, it's crucial to have a man who mirrors and reflects to us what manhood is supposed to look like. and I grew up without my father. I didn't meet my dad until just before I got married. So I was 24 years old, the first time I ever laid eyes on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as a kid going to the housing department office. I grew up in the projects in Virginia. I remember going there and picking up the first ever support check that I got from my dad. It was for $25.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I realized there's no way my mom can survive on this. But my grandfather, her father, had become the man in my life. And it was him being a strong man, being, you know, I remember spending the night at his house with him and just being in awe of his strength as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And how he cared for me tenderly. He taught me how to drink coffee, right, at 5 or 6 years old. He taught me how to fight as a man. Now, it may not have been all the right things, but what he taught me was how to stand up for myself as a man, as a boy. Those are strong lessons that I learned from him, and just seeing the reflection of masculinity at that young, tender age was really important for me. And then subsequently, there were, you know, God brought other men into my life who mm-hmm. were mentors, and so they filled that vacuum. And I'm so grateful that they did, because it has helped me to become the father and the husband that I believe God wants me to be.
Right. And that's important. You touched on a lot of key things like therapy and mentor, having a male mentor. Now, something you said that just, oh, I was like, yes. And you said you had a prayer. God, I don't want a wife until I become the man you want me to be. I almost fell out my chair, you know, because I'm single. So I was like, what? They're out there like that? Men pray that? Please tell me men are praying such a prayer. Because, you know, women, we'd be like, Lord, send them. Where's my bull ass? Send them. So it was good to hear that some man is out there praying, God, I don't want a wife until I become the man you want me to be. Good God. Ladies!
You know, that you know, there's some things that come out of your mouth and out of your spirit that you know was because of God.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where I was on my journey as a man. I was in college, and God was dealing with me about being sexually pure.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I was doing a lot of the things dysfunctionally and sinfully that I'd seen along the way, right? Men in my
right.
family, men in my neighborhoods, and as God was dealing with me, I realized that I would continue the pattern. And I just said, God, don't let me have a wife until you finish dealing with me. Because I knew the pain that my mother experienced and that many women around me had experienced. And when I prayed that prayer, God just took me to a whole nother level.
Wow.
And within about a year and a half of that, he introduced me to the woman who would be my wife. And I told her, my wife, I said, listen, I'm glad God didn't introduce us a year and a half earlier, because I would have wrecked this relationship.
Mm.
I was not mature enough. I was not right with God. And I would have ruined the best thing that God could have given me, which was you, her, my wife, Sherry.
Oh. Hey, Sherry. Oh. Tell Sherry I said
Sherry,
hey.
Yeah, y'all shout out to Sherry. She's amazing.
All right. So now we can get into the base of Cover Him for the ladies. When a man is seeking a wife, and the Bible says when a man finds a wife, what is he looking for? Share with us, Pastor. What is he looking for?
What is a man looking for when he finds a wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it really does depend on the man.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the essential thing that's true for all of us is that when we're looking for a woman who gets us, and who will help us become our best as men,
mm-hmm.
right? Somebody who's supportive of us, who cheers us on through the hard times of life. I think we're looking for partnership. We would desire for partnership,
mm-hmm.
right? The Bible is clear, right? It's not good for the man to be alone.
Right.
And so we need a woman who wants to be a partner. Because, you know, I've met a lot of women who are praying for a husband, but they don't want to be a wife. They want to be married, but they don't want to be a wife.
I just said that the other day.
There's a huge difference.
Yes.
Right? It's such a powerful space to be in as a woman, to be a wife. It's a powerful space of influence. not a derogatory space to be a helpmeet, a helper. It is a power-packed space that God gives to a woman to help a man become who he was destined to be. And in the process, you help each other become who you were destined to be. Right? The assumption of Cover Him is that we're trying to have a mutually beneficial and edifying relationship.
Mm.
You see? And if we start from that foundation, then we can start carrying out God-ordained roles toward each other. And when we do that, right, she gets better because of his input in her life, and he gets better because of her input in his life.
Wow.
Your partnership is essential.
Wow. I think that answers the question. I really believe you hit the nail on the head with that one. There's some other situations in the book that I really enjoy that you address, like the stereotype that most women say that there are no good men. And I say that's a lie because I was raised by my dad and I think he is absolutely the best. My grandfather is the best and I have an uncle who's the best. They cook, they clean, you know, and I'm like, y'all make it hard for me. Y'all make it hard for me.
That bar is high, ain't it?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, my grandma would come home and whoever came home first, because I had to go to my grandparents' house after school. So whichever one got home first, they started cooking. So I watched that. You know, if my grandfather came home first, he made dinner. If my grandmother came home first, she made dinner. He wasn't sitting back like waiting, like come home and make my dinner. And I thought that was like, wow, I want that. You know what I'm saying? I want that. That's all right.
That image, right, and that posture to serve each other is so attractive. And that's really what got me excited about becoming a good man to my wife and to my children, was I started seeing healthy models of marriage,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, man, that's really what I'm dreaming of. There are more good men out here than is admitted.
Right.
There are a lot of men who are doing it well, who want to do it well. And I really believe this, Nigeria. We got to begin praying for a generation of men who will rise up and pursue this agenda. Because, you know, we got generations at stake.
Right.
We got generations of children and lives and homes at stake. I tell people this, listen, you got to work the word because the word works.
Come on now.
Work the word, right? When we start perusing the Bible on family and relationships and marriage and dating and men and women, right? What we see, that, right, God doesn't withhold from us the broken models, but he also holds up to us the good models and the principles so that we can flourish in our homes. And when we flourish in our homes and in our relationships, we can flourish in anything.
That's exactly
right?
Correct.
I'm confident that my four young adult children, but I have three daughters, amazing. My son, who is 24, right? They're all like on their path now, right, into adulthood. I'm confident that they are going to be blessed because of what they had at home. Not that home was perfect, but home was good and intentional, and Christ was the center. So they saw our mistakes, but they also saw God cover us and provide for us, and they saw a good marriage. So now they know what to look for and what to expect. And I don't think they will settle because they saw something worth having.
Right. I totally agree. Now, I'm going to give you three words, and I want you to connect it with Cover Him, okay?
Okay.
Complacency, Christ, and covenant.
Wow. Okay. Complacency. A woman cannot ultimately cover a man who is complacent, right? She can cover a man who is intentional, who is trying to move forward, but a woman cannot make a man into a man.
Gee.
And so if a man is complacent, if he is negligent concerning the essential responsibilities, if he lacks a vision and is, you know, it's one thing to have a vision, it's another thing to execute it.
Right.
Right. So otherwise, you're just dreaming. and so I think a woman should know that she cannot cover a man who's complacent.
That's good.
Well, what was the next word?
Christ.
Christ. Christ must be central. Mm-hmm. If a woman is going to be able to cover a man, Christ must be central to her life,
mm-hmm.
and he must be central to his life. Otherwise, the thing ain't going to work. If we try to make the word do something that the word wasn't intended to do, the relationship is not going to work.
Right.
So, you know, we're not all, you know, when we come to Christ, we understand it's a journey. So even if I'm a baby in my relationship with God, but Christ is center,
yes,
then we got hope.
Yes.
Right? So it doesn't mean that everybody's got to be deep and, you know, and mature. It just means that we got to be like, okay, let's put him first. So whenever I work with couples in premarital counseling, right, I try to help them get to that space, because then I know they have the most hope.
And the last covenant.
Covenant is critical, right? Covenant is a statement of agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, how can two walk together unless they agree? It is our essential agreement when we are in relationship with one another that I'm going to be trustworthy toward you and you're going to be trustworthy toward me. But in our modern world, right, we strike contracts.
Mm.
But contracts always have an out clause. But covenants are designed so that we are in and we agree that we will live up to certain expectations to deliver upon in the interest of the other person, because our word matters to us.
Right.
And so our God is a covenant God. He's an agreement kind of God. When God strikes an agreement with us, even when we mess up, he still keeps to his end.
Right.
So covenant agreement is crucial. I've been working on a presentation that I do called Five Agreements for a Great Marriage.
Oh, okay.
Right? And we just nailed these down to five essential agreements that if we come into agreement around these, we can work through anything.
Pastor, I'm just like, wow, wow, wow. I think you did a great job with the book. I want everybody to go get it. It's Rod Harrison, Cover Him, and it's on digital outlets, correct?
It's out on Amazon. You can go get Cover Him and Cover Her there. People can check out my website, rodharrison.com. I'm on social. That's my handle, at Rod Harrison, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So, yeah, I'd love to hear from people. Go get the book. It's going to bless your thinking about relationships.
Yes.
And I believe it'll bless your relationships.
And I think it's so needed. We need guidance on how to even communicate with each other as men and women. And
yes.
I think this book will definitely, like you said, help people's thinking. And, I feel it, Holy Ghost. It's going to help people thinking. You ready? You ready for this? And you know why I'm going to give this one to you for free. It's going to help people thinking and mating.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Yes.
It's a whole chapter in Cover Him on make love to him.
Yes.
And why it's essential.
Yes. No, I read it.
Okay.
I'm so inviting you to my wedding. Plus, I think I'm gonna call you whenever he come around. I'm gonna expect my call, and take the counsel, because I'm gonna be like, oh, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I know. I feel like the Samaritan woman. I know a man.
I would love to support you and your listeners, right? So we'll maybe we can get back together and talk some more. But
absolutely.
I can do to really, let's build these relationships,
yes,
between men and women.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's romantically, but it's also, right, moms and sons.
Yes.
It's aunties and nephews, right?
Yes.
It's brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Right? If we can get this together, we can all be blessed.
Well,
we can all be blessed.
I totally agree, and I'm always here, and I thank you. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So that's a done deal, and I really appreciate your time and you stopping through at UrbanBuzzMag.com. And we'll speak soon again, I'm sure.
I can't wait. Keep up the great work, Nigeria. Keep it up.
Thank you so much. You have a good one.
You too.